Right now, we've got Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle here in the studio as the town of Carrboro gets close to the end of the schedule of board meetings for the, I guess, academic calendar year and gets ready to take the summer break. How are you?
Good, good. The finish line is in sight.
The finish line is in sight.
we're doing the sprint.
What work does the mayor, the Board of Aldermen, do during the summertime when all the meetings are over?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because the mayor of Chapel Hill, Pam, and I were talking a little bit about that. It's because some towns don't take off, you know, July and August like we do. But I kind of view it as a time not just for all of us to get a little bit of respite, but it's also a good opportunity for a lot of our staff that works so hard during the rest of the year to be able to take time off. I used to hate to, like, take a week off and then come back and find out, oh, my God, was it even worth going?
Yeah, because you've got a week's worth of work to do. Yeah.
Right. So I think it helps in terms of vacations and but also project management, because I know there are some projects then that are able to delve in very deeply because, you know, when you have meetings week after week after week throughout the year, you know, a lot of your time is spent kind of responding to a meeting and then preparing for another meeting. This way they can really spend a lot of time digging in deep on some of the agenda items that they'll be working on and bringing to us in the fall.
So what are some of the items that are going to be coming up in the fall?
Oh, gosh. Well, one of the big ones is, and we were really excited that at our last board meeting, we were able to give approval to the town manager to go ahead and negotiate the development agreement for the library with the county. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to get that finished if we could before the start of summer so that our staff could continue the work associated with that building, i.e., making contact with, you know, the Art Center about their possibility. They've been talking with them, but just a little more firmness about how it's going to move forward. Mm-hmm. Going about preparing the requests for proposals for whoever might end up designing the building. We can talk just a minute here about what we saw this past Tuesday. But there we will formally, you know, put out a bid for someone to actually do the design of the building. And that will take, you know, several months to kind of finalize that design, kind of go through the town's process. It's kind of an odd thing that the town goes through the town's process and then the town has to approve or reject it.
So right,
you know,
right.
It's hopefully we'll approve it, you know. but no, that's going to be really a lot of fun. And this way they're able to kind of get a move on with it. I know that the county has also directed their manager to kind of work with our manager to get that finalized and underway.
So this future building that we're talking about, 203 South Greensboro Street, which is, what is it now, a parking lot? Is that basically just sort of street-level parking?
It's street-level parking, 88 spaces.
Mm-hmm. And the idea is to take that and turn it into the Southwest Branch Library or the Southern Branch Library that I know Carver's been talking about for many years, possible Art Center offices and some performance spaces there as well, and then some Town of Carver offices, right?
That's correct. And you might recall that several years ago, the town actually approved a project for that parking lot. It was going to be a four-story, maybe five stories, but I think four-story building. It was going to be mixed use, ground-level commercial, you know, living space above with, I believe, the parking underneath. Mm-hmm. And then during the recession, it ended up not happening. And then eventually the town started leasing parking spaces and then ended up buying the lot to provide more parking for the town, and then also to have at such time that we want to put something there. And so during the search for a good site for the library, we started the intense discussion, you know, about why don't we just put it here.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tuesday night's meeting, it was a lot of fun, I know, for me and perhaps other board members to just get a kind of a first blush at what a structure might look like on that lot. Now, it's not by any means the way it'll end up. It was just kind of a way to think through how some associated parking might fit into the building. That was really one of the items we talked about the most, right? The parking seemed to dwarf the building a little.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know staff's going to try to think through that a little. Is there another way to kind of have the parking that we will need and that will be required with a building of this sort, but maybe not have it be so prominent in the building? But I really like the concept proposal that Jim Spencer brought before us, you know, kind of fronting Greensboro Street, fronting. I guess it's Roberson beside it.
Mm-hmm.
And then also talking to us about making Roberson more pedestrian and bike friendly than it is now, because you know you can kind of
there's no sidewalk on there, there's no bike lane. Yep.
And so there's an opportunity there to kind of make that a little more inviting as well.
Yeah. But you know, that's okay now because there's not a lot of traffic on that road, but you put a library there and
exactly. And we'd still probably have we definitely would still have car traffic, but as like Sammy Slade suggested, you know, maybe just one lane, you know, maybe let's look at traffic patterns. But one point I really want to make to the listening audience is that we're very interested in what the community has to say about the proposal and about the look of it, you know, the design, the layout, the parking question. So I know we're going to have a public hearing this Tuesday. And, you know, just interested in hearing what folks have to say about it. We're really excited about the project. The library will definitely be on the first floor. And as you know, we're talking with the Art Center, and they're hoping to be able to bring either some programming or some performance or both to this building. They're assessing their the possibilities of doing that. But they're going to probably be able to make a decision on that sometime in the fall. And then, meanwhile, it's not going to slow down the library any, because the proposals will be going out. And then as the drawings are drawn up, there'll be a point at which that decision has to be made. But for right now, we can still kind of consider that possibility.
Yeah, so that public hearing is Tuesday night, the 27th, 7:30 p.m. In Town Hall. And everyone's invited out to weigh in on what they want to see, basically, there.
Well, reaction to the proposal.
Right.
And so anyone who wants to see the item, you know, go online and look at our last meeting and just, you know, click ahead to the item and kind of see how it was presented. It's kind of part of a domino effect in town, that once this is built, then Recreation and Parks will be able to move in there, and then the police department will be able to spread out a little bit more in the Century Center, and then Recreation and Parks will move their equipment out of the second floor of Town Hall, and so then maybe we'll get to renovate Town Hall and be able to have more space there. So it's really a key piece in terms of being able to increase our town office space and do some planning for future offices.
Townofcarborough.org is the town's website if you want more information on that, and go there, get the meetings, the minutes from last meeting, take a look at this proposal, and again, weigh in at the public hearing on Tuesday night, 7:30 Town Hall. What else is going to be going on at that meeting?
Yeah, I haven't seen the final agenda for Tuesday, but I do know that one other item we're going to be talking about for sure is the 100% design for the MLK Park on Hillsborough Road that we have been reviewing periodically for, oh gosh, it seems like 20 years, but I think it's been about 8 or 9 months. But, you know, we preliminarily kind of told the designer what we were looking for, and then they came back a couple of times, maybe at 50% or 80% or 90%. But in any event, this is 100%. And so people can see how it's actually going to kind of look finally based on a lot of the feedback that not only the board, but community members have given over the last several months. And I think it has really turned out to be a really well thought out community gathering area. Mm-hmm. It's mostly passive, I would say, but there also is an inclusion of some bicycle track for, it's called like a pump track, and we more recently have included some land that we purchased right next door to try to increase or make a greater opportunity for some pump tracks for members of the community that really want to see that. But it looks like we'll be able to work out having that and also keep the rest of the park in a way that honors kind of the open space and the serenity and the just kind of use it gets now, essentially, with a few additional kind of things that are like a children's play area. We'll still have the community gardens. We'll have a picnic shelter, a little amphitheater area, walking trail. It's going to be real nice.
Awesome. Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, again, that meeting that we're talking about is Tuesday night, 7:30, Town Hall, public hearing on 203 South Greensboro Street, and other items on the agenda, too. So a couple of other things that we wanted to talk about before we go. The first one happened earlier this week, which we've really been talking about here on the air, because it really is a significant thing for Orange County and for Chapel Hill and Carborough, is the groundbreaking for sewer lines on Rogers Road. And you were there, right?
Yes, I was there. And I kind of, at that meeting, I told them I spoke batting cleanup. I was the last speaker, and I kind of introduced a lot of the really key people with the project and the planning staff that actually did the work to get to this point and are going to continue to do the work to get it on the ground. But no, it was one of the points I made when I was there, and I think Minister Campbell said this, just to look out at the sea of people that were in the community room at the, you know, Rogers Road, Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Center. Oh, it was just amazing. I mean, it was just the cross section of folks from all around the community, all around the county, staff, elected officials, community members, interested people. It was really, I think that Minister Campbell and David Caldwell almost got choked up a few times. I mean, it was just unbelievable to know that we were at this point where the shovels are going to be in the ground soon. But, you know, one of the points that I made was, and, you know, particularly because I know I live off of Rogers Road, mm-hmm. and right now I'm experiencing the traffic of a detour that's going on.
Oh, yeah, because Greensboro is, yeah.
Right. But, you know, just kind of reminding everyone that this is really exciting and fun, but let's just keep in mind for the next 8, 9, 10, 11 months, it's going to be a little bit of upheaval
right,
on the road.
Right.
And we'll gladly all put up with that to have that done and have that accomplished. So it's a really, really cool thing. And all really responsibility, the responsibility for all this having happened really belongs to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so many people, we had Reverend Campbell on the air, I think it was on Monday because the thing was on Tuesday, right? It was the day before. And I asked him, how many people, like, just who are the key players in this long fight? And he gave me this look like, you know, there are hundreds, right?
Yeah,
like, because
yeah.
There really were so many people who made this happen.
Yeah, one of the points I made was that I kind of felt like I was really standing there in the shoes of mm-hmm. many, many, many people, including community members who have passed on now, but certainly many elected officials and community leaders and town staff who have worked on this for a long time and aren't working or aren't, you know, in their seats anymore right now to kind of see this happen. But all those, the fruits of their labor are being seen now in this project.
Speaking with Carver Mayor Lydia Lavelle, that happened earlier this week. Before you go, we've got to talk about the 4th of July, which is coming up. We're not going to be able to talk next week, so this is going to be our last conversation before the 4th of July, which is like a week and a half away, if believe it.
Yes.
I think I'm okay with that, 2017 being what it is. But yeah, years flying by. So July 4th is coming up a week from Tuesday. A lot of events happening in the community, including Carrboro. We've got the parade in the morning, right? And then a lot of activities on Town Commons and the now annual reading of Frederick Douglass's famous 4th of July address as well.
That's correct. So we'll have our typical activities in Carrboro. And as you say, this is starting to become one of those ongoing activities. This will be the fourth year that we've had the community reading of Frederick Douglass's essay, What the 4th of July Means to a Negro. And so it begins at noon in the Century Center. And what we typically do is I take names and kind of line up a series of speakers to read an abridged version of the speech. But Aaron, you've been there. I think it runs half an hour, 45 minutes, something
about
like that.
Yeah,
kind of depending, I guess, on how fast people talk.
Right.
But
about how fast they
really,
make their way up to the podium as well.
That's
to
true.
Switch.
That's
yeah.
true. But it's really a very, very compelling speech. We've had great attendance the last several years. The first mm-hmm. year was in the boardroom. The last couple of years have been in the Century Center. Each year we have kind of a guest speaker who kind of sets the tone and talks a little bit about the speech to kind of frame it. This year I'm really excited that I'm going to have one of my colleagues from North Carolina Central University School of Law, April Dawson. She's a constitutional law professor. She teaches a Supreme Court seminar. And also, Aaron, she and Irv Joyner run the Legal Eagle Review on WNCU.
Nice.
So, you know, a colleague of yours in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
But April is, I asked her if she'd be willing to come and give the remarks, and she was really delighted and said she'd be happy to. And so she's really looking forward to that. And so that'll be a really, really good community event, one that, you know, people always enjoy. And I urge anyone who, you know, is interested in that, just come on out, and we have plenty of chairs, and you'll really enjoy it.
It's a great event, and I was there. I've been there every single year. I've gotten a chance to be one of the readers every year, and it really is a worthwhile event to take part in addition to watch. But that first year when we were in the boardroom, it was like standing room only, and people were ducking their heads in from out the hallway looking, and the Century Center's packed every single time. And it's a great opportunity because the 4th of July we think of as the celebratory holiday, but it's a celebration of a set of values which are never 100% fulfilled. It's always this mission of promoting these values, promoting these ideals, and protecting them and preserving them and moving more and more in the direction of actually realizing them in practice, which means that there's an extent to which we don't realize them in practice, and that's what this reminds us of.
Right, right. And this, of course, doesn't mean to take take away from all the ideals of freedom and liberty and 14th Amendment and all that, but certainly to pause and give some reflection and think about the fact that the 4th of July meant something entirely different mm-hmm. to a large population of the residents of our country during the last century.
Yeah.
And even after 1865, even after slavery was abolished by the end of the Civil War, the vestiges of it are, well, of course, still felt today.
And the fight goes on, yeah. And it's a timely speech as well, because Frederick Douglass is doing amazing things, and people are going to hear more about him in the future. Right.
We were lucky to book him. We're glad he's going to be there.
But it really is a great speech. And, I mean, you can get it online and just look it up, Frederick Douglass's speech. It's got a couple of different names. There's What to the Slaves, the 4th of July, the meaning of the 4th of July to the Negro. And he gave this speech a few different times in the, late 1840s, early 1850s.
Yeah, I think this is one he gave in 1848.
Okay.
It might have been even to a partially, he did a lot of rallying with women suffragist mm-hmm. groups too. So,
yep. So definitely looking forward to that. Are there still spots available for speakers? Are you looking for them, or
maybe,
is that all?
Maybe a couple. It's shaken out, so I have pretty much roughly the number I usually have. But,
okay.
That's the good thing about it. I could have 100 speakers and just have shorter parts
right,
if we needed
right.
to. But I have found that somewhere around 20 speakers is a pretty good number. And I should say that I always try to do what I can to make sure it's a really diverse group of speakers,
mm-hmm.
Across gender and race and age and, mostly a lot of Carrboro, but I'm starting to get some from outside of Carrboro, like in
yep.
Orange County too. But that's fine. And I have some folks who love to do it year after year and who I would want to ask again year after year and hope that they would participate, but always have some new folks too. And so that's a lot of fun.
Century Center noon, right, on
Century
the 4th
Center
of July?
Noon, yep.
Yep, absolutely. Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.